You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
The guy's just minding his own business. All of a sudden, a bobcat attacks
him. It's a bobcat! Attack my one!
It up almost like he's a superhero and hurls this thing.
Take it.
If a bobcat attacked my family, I would do what this guy did.
Yeah, don't do what I did when the dolphin attacked.
I still can't believe you did.
Listen, Dave, it's fight or flight when it comes to the dolphins.
I think part of the reason was I was on my element in the water. That's the dolphin's domain.
So you felt like the dolphin had kind of a home field advantage there.
This is DCR.
You want me to put you in captivity and have people come ride you? Well, I feed you nice?
Being. But if you fed me, dolphin, I might appreciate it.
On 98.7 ESPN.
We'll get into the Trevor Lawrence comments in a moment. 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. I just received a tweet which could change the entire complexion of the show. RJ, our fine producer, literally, I would guess, what would you say, RJ? We did like a full show on this at least 5 years ago, right? Maybe even more.
Oh, I would probably say 7 or 8. You were doing 5 hours alone at night, so
yeah,
how long ago was
like
that?
I feel like it's before Chris and Rick even wandered into the station.
I would guess 2013, I think.
Yes, so 7, 8 years ago. So this question was posed, and this is RJ. I almost feel like you should sue this guy. We should get an attorney.
I don't know if I want credit for this, but I know that you trace it back to me.
Yeah, well, that's how I know it. And you're more wrong than I am, tweets in. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
That's an age-old question.
I know it from RJ. So this
I think
goes
I gotta
back
go,
to like
I gotta
the
go
ancient
the,
times.
I'm going horse-sized duck.
One horse-sized duck.
No way.
Yep.
No way.
So you're going with 100 ducks. That's a lot of ducks, though.
Yeah. No. I'm going with the horses. I'm going
with 100 horses.
Yeah, I'm going with the 100.
100 duck-sized horses.
Duck-sized horses, yeah.
Or one horse-sized duck.
Nah, that duck is very crafty, man. Don't trust the duck.
I'm going.
See, I feel like I get on the duck's
duck
back
as well.
I think I could get on the duck's back somehow.
A horse-sized duck? Good
yes.
luck with that. There's no way he's going to let you get on his back. No
You're
way.
Gonna ride the
he's
going
to beat you to death.
Affleck.
No chance. Affleck is going to whoop your ass.
Yeah,
no chance.
I mean, you wouldn't even be able to see all these horses. There'd be 100 of them.
That's so all right, Dave. I'm not worried about it. They're duck size. They're duck size. How much damage could they really do?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to battle out with 100 ducks. I certainly wouldn't want to battle with 100 horses.
Well, yeah, maybe you've seen Jurassic Park? When they see those little tiny dinosaurs, and like,
yeah.
Oh, look at how cute these things are.
Yeah, until they kill you.
Until all of a sudden 50 jump out of the bushes, and you're done. It's a
yeah.
wrap.
I agree with Rick. I'm going one horse-sized duck. One big duck.
You guys
duck.
Are making a big mistake.
You
big,
think so?
Huge mistake. No question
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
Yeah, 100%.
I think I could snap a wing early in the fight. If I get to one wing.
Yeah, if you can make him play one-handed, I think
play
you're
play one-handed,
shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The duck, I mean, that could
the
be
The duck
though.
Is very smart, very crafty.
Because the swan scares me.
But it's
me,
only
you know?
One. It's only one.
I hear what you're saying, Dave.
Yeah, I like my chances. I'm going with the horse-sized duck.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I agree. 100 duck-sized horses, Chris. Good luck.
Both of you guys are wrong. You're wrong.
Right.
I don't know how you guys don't see this. This,
so this
is one
is
of the
plain
more
as
obvious,
day obvious
ones.
To you.
This is pretty obvious.
Yeah?
Pretty obvious.
Yeah, but all it takes is like 10, 20 of those little tiny horses. They get, I mean, all combined, they give you a couple little hoofs to the shin. You bend down because they
you're in big trouble. Once, I mean, it's like Dan Gable. Once they get you on the mat, you're done.
I'm not going to get on the mat, Dave.
You say that.
I'm going to pull off a Lawrence Tynes. I'm going to punt those suckers all over the place.
Yeah, but at some point, I mean, you'd be 50 into them, and you'd be exhausted.
You're going to name them all over the place, huh?
You'll pull a hamstring, some kind of hip flexor.
Who am I, James Harden? Do I play for the Brooklyn Nets? I'm going to pull a hamstring?
Be dehydrated, maybe?
Shots at one time MVP James Harden.
No.
All right, so this Trevor Lawrence story is interesting and it's gained a lot of traction. I want your guys' take on it. So Trevor Lawrence in a Sports Illustrated article says, quote, "It's hard to explain that because I want people to know I'm passionate about what I do and it's really important to me, but I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder." All right, that's what everyone's trying to get out of me, and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. He goes on to say, "I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that, and I don't want to." Do we have an issue with the guy coming out and saying, like, this huge chip, this huge passion, this desperation to win, it's just not there?
No, I don't have an issue with what Trevor Lawrence said. I don't know that he doesn't have a desperation to win or to try to maximize his ability, because in that SI article, he kind of talks about that. And he felt like before he even made his comments that it would kind of get manipulated or twisted just because fans would question whether or not he's really passionate about what he's doing and playing football. But, I mean, to me, I take those comments as Trevor Lawrence being really grounded. I really do, because he's saying that he can't manufacture putting that chip on his shoulder. He can't go out there and be motivated by people doubting his abilities. He's saying the thing that motivates him is trying to be the best football player that he absolutely can be. So I look at that as the kid being grounded, and I think that lends itself to him having success, especially with the position that he's playing, because there's not going to be any position that gets more scrutinized than the quarterback of the team, especially when it's the number one overall pick. So I appreciated what Trevor Lawrence had to say. I think it was honest. I think he was transparent. And if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't have any issue with him coming out and making those statements. Not one.
Yeah, but here's the question I would ask you guys, Dave, is how would you manufacture that chip if you've, I mean, since the time you were, what, 15 years old?
Mm-hmm.
We're the next thing. You've always been the best.
Yeah.
He very rarely loses. He's lost, what, four games?
Yeah, yep. He never loses.
In high school and college?
Yeah, two in high school, two in college.
So, I mean, I you can't manufacture that. I was more actually taken aback by what his dad said.
Well, that he could walk away from the game?
That would, especially with what we saw happen to Andrew Luck, that could, if I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, like, that would concern me a little bit. Like, I want my guy all in. Now, not every quarterback has to be like Tom Brady.
Nobody's like Tom Brady. Not even every quarterback. Not one football player is like Tom Brady. He's different.
Nobody's like that.
Nobody's like that.
No, and you're also talking about a guy who, I mean, naturally, I mean, you lose your job in college, and then you get drafted in the sixth round. I mean, how could you not have a chip on your shoulder? So, I mean, that's not that's scars building up of people doubting you, and then you all of a sudden have this big chip on your shoulder. You want to prove everyone wrong.
But here's the thing about that chip on your shoulder thing, Rico. That's external motivation, man, and that's not always going to be consistent. It's not. Like, because you could get to the point in your career where not everybody is doubting you. The thing that makes Tom Brady special is that he's been able to find a way to keep that chip on his shoulder for 21 years after winning 7 championships. That's what makes him special. At some point, even if you do put the chip on your shoulder and you have success, like, you're going to rest on your laurels. That's just human nature. So if you're relying on extrinsic motivation to get you going, it's going to be a struggle. Like, that internal motivation and that desire to want to maximize your abilities, to me, that's where it's at. Like, that's what you're looking for if you're evaluating a player and you want to get inside his head and try to understand his mentality. Like, that's what you're after if you're an NFL team. A guy that's obsessed with being the best that he possibly can be just because he doesn't want to waste his potential. And that's exactly what Trevor Lawrence talks about in that article.
All right, so you don't have an issue.
No.
Rick, I agree with you. I have a little issue with the father said, with he could just walk away and be totally fine. Let's hear what Louis Riddick has to say on Get Up. Do you have a problem with what Trevor Lawrence said here? All right. Well, we don't have to. I mean, sometimes Lewis can be shy. It's not like he just, overtly blurts stuff out all the time.
There are quarterbacks that are just maniacal in terms of their preparation and their commitment to the game, and they do want to win at all costs. Quite honestly, the guy who we consider the GOAT, Tom Brady, he has said, if you are not willing to commit yourself in the way that I'm willing to commit yourself, then you're probably going to have a problem matching up with him over time, you know, to paraphrase. You're probably going to have a little bit, be it some kind of deficit at some point in time in a football game against him, because he's someone who is maniacal in terms of making sure that he has all the answers and he is prepared as much as possible, and he will do whatever it takes in order to win football games. And winning at the NFL level is hard, man. Playing quarterback at the NFL level is hard. Steve Young used to say it all the time to me on Monday Night Countdown. It's about the details. It's about the preparation. It's about the commitment. And you better be committed on that level. And the last thing I'll just say is this real quick. Remember now, people were questioning Justin Fields. People were questioning Justin Fields, and he hadn't said a word. People were questioning just how committed he was and whether he was going to be one of those guys who's going to put in the time to be great. If Justin Fields had said this kind of thing, what do you think we'd be talking about here this morning? So I'm just going to put that out there, and I'm not questioning Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying, though.
He's just saying, though, Chris. He's just throwing it out there.
That's two separate things, though. It's two separate things, though, because he's bringing in the Justin Fields stuff, and I feel like that's a kid that's been unfairly criticized as we've gone through the pre-draft process. People have picked him apart. And if Justin Fields had come out and said this, that would be another thing on top of everything else that's already happened to him. There's no doubt that people would receive these comments differently if it were Justin Fields. When I look at what Trevor Lawrence said, I don't have an issue with it, Dave, just because I realize, you know, what actually happens with NFL players. Like, guys aren't with football 24/7. I know fans don't want to hear this, but, like, guys actually have a life outside of the sport, even when they're in season. Like, they have other things that are going on. They're actual people. It's not like a eat, sleep, breathe football every single hour of every single day. And so I feel like with Trevor Lawrence making these statements, it's like, okay, I am a football player. It's important to me to be really, really good. But I'm also a person, and I'm grounded, you know, with some other things. Like, I mean, this is not the first time we've heard athletes express that they have other interests. I mean, 2017 first overall pick Myles Garrett was one of those guys that was outspoken about being interested in other things, or you know, not living and dying with football. And people were wondering whether or not that kid would be pretty good. Turns out he's a pretty good D lineman, right? Pretty good guy. So, I mean, I just feel like it's unfair to look at these comments from Trevor Lawrence and to say, you know, this is some kind of indictment on what kind of pro he's going to be because he doesn't have the right mindset.
No, but I understand. I mean, from a fan base, like from a fan's perspective, we romanticize about, you know, athletes like Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I mean, Kobe. Jerry Rice, Kobe. I mean, that's what we want to believe. I mean, it's not true because not all athletes are like that.
And you don't have to be like that to have success. You don't.
No, you're right. But I think when, like, that's what you're, as a fan, that's what you want to believe. You want to believe that your favorite athlete, your quarterback, whoever it is, all they do all day is either
dream
train for their sport
and
dream about winning
on the game.
They're 100% focused.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, here's what I would say about Trevor Lawrence. I get what he's saying. I understand it, and it makes you, you know, what he's saying is definitely a healthier way to approach it. Because, I mean, it becomes unhealthy when you're as singular focused on just your sport as some of these guys are. That's like
that's how you end up at a drive thru at a McDonald's at 1:30 in the morning after you lose.
But yeah, oh yeah, Wendy's. It's McDonald's and Wendy's.
Or Wendy's.
No, but it's unhealthy. I mean, it really is. Like, it affects relationships. I mean, it's not a healthy way to live your life. So, I mean, he's a mature kid, clearly. I mean, he just got married, mm-hmm. right? What I would say to him, and especially his dad, is this wouldn't be something that I would have told him to come out and say.
Agreed.
Because early on, it's not going to be easy in Jacksonville,
mm-mm.
right? And so, you're just giving people ammunition to use against you.
That's right. And if things don't come out, you're not great out of the gate, what are they going to say? Well, this is a guy that doesn't love football the way some other guys do. Right or wrong, that's going to be said about him.
Yeah, that'll be the narrative. The story writes itself, Dave. But the way that this kid is wired, I would say that it's probably in his best interest to have that type of mentality, knowing that it's going to be an uphill climb with the Jacksonville Jaguars. There are going to be a lot of low points early on in his tenure as their starting quarterback. He's going to have the right mindset to be able to survive that and come out on the other side. But based on what he's saying in this article, I feel fairly confident that the kid's going to be able to do that. And when you couple that mindset with the talent that he has, yeah, I have no doubt about Trevor Lawrence being a Pro Bowl level quarterback for a decade plus in the NFL. No doubt about it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Would you like to go to the calls here? And there's a lot of them. Or would you prefer to hear from the Michael Kay Show and your guy, Michael, on his take on this Trevor Lawrence situation?
Did you have to ask me the question to know my answer?
Well, I just wanted to put you in an uncomfortable spot for a moment.
No, it's not uncomfortable. It's very comfortable. Hear his beautiful voice. 6:20 in the morning. Set my day off the right way, of course.
Well, it could be some Don as well. Don has a mellifluous voice, a sensational voice.
So Don's in this cut, too?
Don and
Michael. That could change my answer.
Well, I want to give you the full scenario. So you
give me some K-Show.
Okay, here it is. The K-Show reacting to the Trevor Lawrence comments.
Here would be my concern if I'm investing the first overall pick in the draft.
That's the key.
All right? Where I'm looking at everything. I'm looking at Wunderlich tests. We're going over Wilson, whether he's enough of a leader. There's nothing that can be ignored, Peter. You got to pay attention to everything. And I'm not saying I wouldn't pick him because of this, but this would be my concern. When you're Trevor Lawrence, there hasn't been a lot of adversity in your career, right? Because you've always been the best. Now you're going to go and join the NFL, and you're not going to be the best. And you're going to face more adversity in your first couple of years than you probably have ever faced in your life on the football field. And it's not going to be a lot of fun. So when I hear those comments, is that a guy that might fight through an injury? Is that a guy that when he's getting beaten up and not having a good time, is he going to drive to be better, or is it going to discourage him? I mean, it's such a hard position to play, Peter. These are things you don't want to hear when we're asking you to carry a franchise for the next decade and a half. You're right. It might be a nothing burger, but when I'm investing so much capital in making that decision, this is something I have to pay attention to.
All right. So, Chris, why don't you take this? Because you're the one that seems to feel the opposite way of Don here.
Well, here's the one thing I will say about Don. I mean, I understand that Trevor Lawrence has been the best player on the football field ever since he got on a football field. But, I mean, you could say that same comment about every single player that gets to the NFL. For the most part, they've been the best player on the football field their entire lives. So, I mean, as far as them facing adversity in their first NFL game being the toughest game that they ever played in, that's going to be the reality for most of these rookies. Like, that's just what it is. So I don't put a lot of stock into those comments. And then just beyond that, with Trevor Lawrence and you know, him saying that, you know, he can't put that chip on his shoulder, or his father saying that he could just walk away from it whenever. I mean, listen, it's uncomfortable, but I mean, it's not like we haven't heard of other players in the past saying things like this. I remember when John Elway was coming out, he said he didn't want to play for the Colts. He threatened to go play baseball. He was going to go with George Steinbrenner and the Yankees rather than play for Robert Irsay and the Colts. Like, that's what he was going to do. Like, I can't imagine that a team that's going to draft John Elway with the first overall pick feels like it's comfortable position knowing that the kid was threatening to go play another sport if the wrong team drafted him. Like, does John Elway really love football if he's threatening to walk away from football? I mean, I don't know, man. I just think that they're trying to read too much into these comments that Trevor Lawrence made or his dad made. The kid is a really good football player. The kid wants to be the best that he can be. I just feel like this is one of those things where we're overanalyzing it.
No, but I think again, I'll go back to this. It was something that didn't really need to be said, because this was what was going to happen.
I don't like what the father said.
No, I don't either. That's what would concern me the most. Here's the other thing. Athletes are different today. They are. Like, plenty of athletes have other interests outside their sports. I mean, a lot of athletes we talk to don't even watch their sport on television.
You had Anthony Edwards say he didn't know who Alex Rodriguez was yesterday.
I was looking at some stuff last night with Steph, and Steph checks his Instagram and had halftime. I could never imagine checking my phone in between periods. Like, looking on
Instagram. That's crazy.
I don't like that.
Looking on Twitter and Instagram in between periods. But he did. I mean, that's what he does. So athletes are different. The other thing, too, is when you look at how good Trevor Lawrence has been and where he's at now, like, I could understand why he doesn't necessarily have a chip on his shoulder, or why he hasn't, you know, doesn't necessarily need to be as maniacal as a Tom Brady. Tom Brady was never as talented as Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jerry Rice wasn't, I mean, he wasn't super talented. Jerry Rice was not super talented. He worked harder than everybody else to turn himself into that kind of player. It's like guys like that, like that aren't as uber talented as or Trevor Lawrence or someone that's going to be the first overall pick in a draft. They have to be like that to have success. Otherwise, they won't. They won't turn into the kind of players that they turned into. Like, that's what will separate them. It's not going to be talent that separates them from everyone else. It's going to be how much they
crazy
study.
Passion and desire.
Work ethic.
Yep. I get it. Listen, I think it's an interesting conversation, and people want to get involved, and let's do it. 800-919-3776. Bridget in the car. Good morning, Bridget. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. I just want to say I think I agree with Chris, and that it's the time chip on his shoulder that's being misunderstood. This kid wants to win. He's disciplined. And I think it comes back to his first championship at Clemson. He came out of the gate and won a national championship. And then everyone was like, what's he going to do next? What's he going to do? And then there was so much pressure. And then that second season, he started throwing some interceptions. So he calmed down and played his game. It's really about that he doesn't want to win and he's not going to be disciplined and achieve things. It's just that he needs to calm down and play his game. Thank you.
I just don't know what the benefit of him doing the,
yeah, I agree
the
with
interview
that.
Was.
Well, the interview, I don't think is a big deal. Why you would, obviously, it's not something he even thought of, right? He's just like, I'll say this and it's fine. It's a non-issue. And yeah. Why would it be? It's how I feel. And I've always had success. But I agree with you. Like, nothing good comes out of this for him.
No. I mean, unless he steps on a football field and he's great, which I think we all expect him to be good. I mean, it might take some time because Jacksonville's not very good.
Yeah.
But you knew people, every word he was going to say was going to get dissected.
But, I mean, you guys know this better than anybody. I mean, you're going to be the number one pick in the draft. Every single thing that you say, and what I can't wait to have Tenenbaum on next week. Because I think his take will be very interesting on if you would even pay any attention to this or this is just water under the bridge and a non-issue.
I think some guys are just so good that...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, they're just that talented. Like,
maybe
I don't know,
he is.
Like honestly, like I don't know how maniacal Connor McDavid is. Like, I don't know how much. Like, I've never heard any stories about him like I heard about, like you hear about, you know, Tom Brady or anyone like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just that good. Like, that's how good the, like,
so
that's
maybe,
how
maybe
how
Trevor
talented
Lawrence
he is.
Will be that guy. He's just at a different level and he'll come into the NFL and he'll take it by storm and he'll be great. Maybe so.
But again, I mean, you haven't seen it yet. So if it doesn't go well early on,
if
I mean,
it doesn't go well,
this will be something that people.
This
point
article
to.
Will be revisited. I can promise you of that. Joe in Jersey, Joe, you're next up on 98.7.
How you doing, guys? I just want to say you guys have the greatest show on ESPN. The combination of all three of you is fantastic. But I agree with Chris. I think that it was taken out of context. I think he's talking about a chip like Jim McMahon, a chip like Joe Namath, the media persona of himself, of with swagger. I don't think it's so much. His track record proves he's a winner. His talent proves he's a winner. He just doesn't want to come out and be flamboyant. So that's my opinion of it. And if you guys could tell me number 11 Giants pick, what do you think? Thank you so much.
Certainly doesn't sound like he's consumed with being a celebrity quarterback.
Mm-mm.
Feels like he could care less about all that stuff. And if I'm being honest, that's exactly what I want. I don't want somebody that wants to be in the limelight, somebody that wants to be under the bright lights all the time. Like, I want somebody that wants to be the best at what they can be. And when you have somebody that has as much physical talent as Trevor Lawrence has, like, I mean, just like, I don't know how you could look at it and say you don't think he should be the first quarterback off the board. Like, I don't know. I don't know that these comments do anything to change that. And I'm not saying that's what anybody else is saying. I'm not saying that's what anybody else is saying, but, I mean, the kid has shown you at every level of the sport that he's the best player when he steps on the field. Yeah, there are some games where he struggled, but, I mean, listen, he's only lost two games in his college career. And those two games were in the college football playoffs. So his team is competing for championships every single year. In high school, this kid smashed all of Deshaun Watson's high school Georgia records. Smashed them. Like, I mean, I just feel like if you're using these hot comments, if you're hanging on to these comments to use that as some kind of criticism or indictment on the kid, you're just looking for something to tear him down.
But don't GMs, Chris, always look for things? Like, aren't they, you know, no stone unturned?
No, GMs look for things, Dave, but GMs also know what to pay attention to. That's why they get paid millions of dollars. They know the difference between something that matters and something that doesn't. And as somebody that's been a part of the National Football League for over a decade, like, I can tell you, this is a nothing comment.
Okay.
This is not something that you need to pay attention to.
He's going to go one. We know that. I wonder if a lesser quarterback would say something like this if it would affect his draft stock at all, or they'd even pay attention to it, or it'd be a non-issue.
Justin Fields didn't say a word, and it's already affecting, apparently, his draft stock. I mean, you only say this when you know you're going,
right, well, he knows
you're going with the
one.
First overall pick.
Yeah, he knows he's going one. Let's go to Al in Holbrook. Al has an interesting comment he'd like to make. Go ahead, Al.
How you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I'm a big, I could care less about Trevor Lawrence at this point. I'm a huge Jet fan, so I could care less. No stock in the game. But what I can say is I'm about to do the unthinkable. I'm about to side with a ex-Giant. Can't see half the road with you, my brother. I don't know I don't know if Rick and Dave has ever seen what a mother duck has done to a would-be predator trying to, like, take a duckling or a chick, whatever you want to call it. I can't imagine what a horse-sized duck.
Well, but why would the mother duck be watching this?
Yeah, now you're throwing variables into the mix. No one said try to attack a horse-sized duck's nest.
Yeah.
Just a one-on-one fight.
We didn't think the mother was going to be leering on and cheering on this horse-sized duck, and then if we get out of hand that they would attack us. That was never brought into the mix here. That's not fair.
No one said go try to steal the horse-sized duck's eggs.
It's just the image that I get in my mind when I see a horse-sized duck is dangerous. I mean, flapping and beaking.
So is 100 duck-sized horses, Al.
Yeah, oh, no.
No. You're crazy.
No.
You're underestimating the duck-sized horse.
Al, I'm with you, man. I mean, the duck has the variable of the aerial assault, man. The duck can come from above. Like, you got to be worried about it, man. You have to be. The duck has the high ground.
Neither thing.
Listen, you see those horse teeth? I'm telling you right now.
I mean,
100 of those chomped on you at the same time? Forget it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Put a carrot in your pants?
It's a duck-sized horse. You can kick it away from you.
Yeah, but you can't kick that fast. 100 attacks.
100. You, 100, Chris.
Yes, Dave, I understand their strength in numbers, but I'm not worried about 100 duck-sized horses. Just like I'm not worried about, Dave, I'm just saying I'm not worried about something that small. I think that the duck-sized horse is not something to worry about. Now, the horse-sized duck can do some real damage.
Would you rather fight one Tyson Fury or 100 small people?
That's not fair. Come on,
what do you
man.
Mean?
That's not fair.
What do you mean?
I'm not doing that. That's a setup question. First
of all,
that's
a setup question.
It's not a simple question. You trying to get me fired? You're supposed to be a good teammate.
Yeah.
No you way.
Really, and that right there, Chris, I'm going to help you out here. Is Straight Talk
Thank
brought
you,
to you by Straight Talk Wireless? No contract and no compromise. All guests on DCR PRV the Goodyear Hotline. You're a terrible guy. Why'd you ask
Why
that
am
question?
I terrible? Gets an honest question.
No,
it's
not
a terrible question. Or 100 small people. You're the devil.
You're a bad guy.
With
bad
2020 guy. Full of dings, dents, and scratches, using your tax refund at Mako can help. Refresh your ride with your refund at Mako to undo a little bit of last year. Head to Mako.com to get a free online estimate today. Uh-oh. Better get Mako.
But Rico, who could do the most damage quickly?
Well, I think Tyson Fury can do the most damage quickly.
There you go. That's what
I'm
saying.
I like my chances one-on-one with him, then all of a sudden 100 little people. There's no
way. Neither are going to work out well.
All right, you're going to wind up looking like that guy that ran into Aaron Donald.
You make great points. I don't want to go against either.
I do think that Chris is sleeping on the hundred horse.
I'm sleeping, Dave. I'm asleep.
The hundred
Rip Van Winkle.
I almost want to breed a horse-sized duck and see what it's made out of. I think he's sleeping on it too, Dave. I think a duck-sized horse is going to be aggressive.
Yes. And there's the horse is so muscular. I mean, these are going to attack you with
it's
venom.
A ball of muscle, big teeth, hooves.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wouldn't want it either.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
But I know that you're on edge here about this big battle, Rick. I know you are.
I'm studying right now.
What are you studying?
Everything that you can find on Christopher Canty right now.
I'm going to be really disappointed if you don't dominate Dave Rothenberg, Rico.
See,
really disappointed.
And now he puts extra
pressure. Really disappointed.
That's right. Well, you're the one that should win this, even though I've been on a red hot streak here. I think I've won two in a row when I've been involved. We'll get there in about 6 minutes on 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to Mike in the Bronx. Mike, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing, DCR? Listen, guys, I have to say, I got to go with Chris, man. Trevor Lawrence, it's smart. It's probably the smartest thing he said. He's letting every veteran guy in the league, hey, I'm a regular kid. I love to play football. You imagine if he would have came out talking about I'm going to do this and that? These guys are hunting heads. They're coming for him. The best thing he did was say, I'm a humble kid and I'm grounded and I just want to play football. There's no chip on my shoulder. I'm just a regular kid. Everybody knows he's not a regular kid. We know what this kid could do. He just knows he's going to get smacked in the mouth. And it's going to happen regardless. They're going to welcome him to the league. But he's a smart kid, and Jacksonville has a superstar in their hands.
Yeah, but I don't think – I mean, everything that he said – and again, I think Dave and I are more concerned about what his dad said.
Oh, yes.
As far as, you know,
that concerns me.
Him walking away from the game. Because we saw Andrew Luck walked away. And I'm still shocked that he walked away. But he was, I mean, he was done with football.
And he didn't need the money.
Yeah, they did him no favors with the offensive line and everything else. As far as him stepping in the locker room, nothing he said in this article is going to affect –
nope.
How his teammates view him.
Nope, not even a little bit.
Once he steps in and shows them how hard he works and everything else and how good he is, that's when he'll establish himself in the locker room as a teammate. I mean, and we've heard nothing but great things from Dabo, from his teammates. And to Don's earlier point, too, he's like, how do you know he'll fight through injuries? The kid's getting his – I mean, he just got surgery on his left shoulder. So, I mean, he played the season with the torn-up shoulder.
Well, Rico, he was also one of the players that was front and center and advocating for them to play the college football season in the middle of a pandemic.
Well, he didn't need it.
He didn't need to do that. He was going to be the number one overall pick anyway. But he wanted to go out there and play. So how can you sit there and question whether or not the kid loves football?
You can't. You can't. I just don't. The only thing I'll say about it is, because I actually think it's probably a healthier way to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a hard time separating the two. I didn't separate the two. Which could also be, I mean, that also leads to a lot of guys flaming out, too, by the way.
Yes. Yes, it does.
When they can't separate the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why he felt the need. Like, if I was his agent, if I was his publicist, like, I would have probably been sitting right next to him when he's doing this.
Saying, what is the upside here?
There's no
this?
Upside in saying what you're saying. I mean, just to go out and prove it, and then, you know, if you want to, we want to revisit doing a story about you, we can do that. But just know, whatever you say now, especially because it's a slow time as we wait for the draft, is going to be picked apart. And then, God forbid, things get off to a slow start. Like Dave said, this article will be revisited.
Absolutely
Rick, but
will.
You know today's athlete is not like that, though, man. They're not going to hold their tongue just because of what they're saying might not land well with fans or the media. They're not going to do it. They've already shown they're not going to do it. And to me, this is just another one of those instances. But we can't sit here and say that we want athletes to let us behind the curtain and then not like what they have to say, especially when it comes to how they approach the sport that they play. Like, I just think that that's a little bit of... That's a little bit of double-mindedness if we're talking about it, honestly, from fans and from the media. It's unfair.
Let's go to Joe in Morristown. Joe, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, Joe?
I gotta be honest. I don't know a lot about horse-sized ducks and duck-sized horses. I didn't call to talk about that. But I was going to say that I think there's a dangerous amount of hype around Trevor Lawrence. So I feel like in the past, when there's been guys who have gotten this sort of hype or this amount of expectation coming into your first year, you're almost set up to fail. Meanwhile, when you have guys who come in with no expectations and there's no standard that they have to meet, like people are coming in, I feel like if Trevor Lawrence goes, you know, 5-11, the Jaguars go 5-11, 6-10. Like, people are going to be like, he's a failure. And I'm like, that's not the case. But it's almost it's set up that way because of the
no, I don't think that's
I don't
the
think so.
No, time out. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. I mean, look at how people feel about Joe Burrow in the limited time you got to see him play.
I thought he looked great.
Love him.
And they didn't
people
win any
loved
games.
This.
Yeah.
And the only thing that listen, they won one game last
but,
year.
But here's the thing people need to understand, too. Part of the reason that a lot of these, and I don't care what the position is, it's even harder at the quarterback position, but all these kids that have all these, you know, unbelievable expectations and have all this hype surrounding them, they usually get drafted to really bad teams.
Yeah.
Is how it works. And there are only a certain handful of guys that can overcome being on really bad teams with really bad coaches.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville's not going to be good.
Last year. One
Jacksonville
game.
Is not going to be good.
If they won five or six, you have a parade for them.
I actually like it. I also like the fact, and I said this before, is one of the biggest things when you're making that leap from college to pro is your maturity level. And can you handle that jump? This kid's a really mature kid, man.
Well,
I think
he's been groomed for this also.
I mean, he's a grown man right now. Like, he knows exactly who he is. Like, to Chris's point, which is a huge point, he has no interest in being a celebrity quarterback. He just got married. Like, those are, man, that's important stuff, too. I just go back to what the dad said. I didn't like that.
Yeah, he could walk away at any point and be fine. All right. A lot of stress. Questions on the way. There'll be a winner. There'll be a loser. Let's go.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is... oh, my God.
Can you update us on the standings, RJ?
We sure can. So as we stand right now, Dave, red hot Dave Rothenberg. Two in a row, coming off the first perfect week ever accomplished in the... 8 week history of this game.
That's right.
So Dave has two. Rick does have two. We don't talk about him much. He's got two. But Chris Canty can't win today, but doubling up everybody. Four
dominant.
Wins.
Dominant.
Yeah, we say dominant.
Dominant.
But someone will be only one game behind Chris
right.
Canty at the end of this game today.
But he can't win today. So he's won half of the eight matchups, and two of the four he has not won, he's not been eligible to win. So he's
exactly.
Won four out of six.
Dominant.
I love that you had to count that up. I love that RJ had to count that up, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, I was counting
two and four.
I was counting my tallies.
2, 4 would typically, RJ, be 8.
Because when you have the little tallies, if you don't have 5, like the one that goes across, I had to really look if it's 3 or 4, because I kind of drew the lines kind of close together.
That's fine. We'll overlook it.
Yeah.
Listen.
Can't be perfect.
Game starts. Good luck to both of you.
Would you rather fight?
The William Hill odds would be on this matchup today, by the way. RJ, what would you put the odds at?
I would say you're favored because you've won two of the last three games. But yeah. I'd probably put my money on Rick because he has the same amount of wins as you, and it'd probably come at better odds.
Okay. All right.
Interesting, RJ.
RJ's a Yankees fan, though. He doesn't believe in hot and cold.
He's a big analytics guy.
I might take the show off.
Rick's
for next week's.
Rick's back is against the wall here. This is. I'm not going to say this is must win, but this is pretty big.
Yeah, there should be a lot of pressure on Rick DiPietro because
If you lose, does it ruin your weekend?
You know it ruins my weekend. And plus, I have a broken tooth. It'd be an awful weekend.
Plus, I have a broken tooth. All right.
All right, let's get it going. Round three of getting to know Chris Canty. The first question. You guys ready?
Yeah.
First question. The loss that hurt me the most during my career was, and here are the candidates. A, Cowboys wild card playoff loss in Seattle in 2006 when Tony Romo at the end of the game dropped the PAT snap, tried to run it in the end zone, gets tackled by Jordan Babineau. B, Cowboys divisional playoff loss to the Giants in 2007 when Patrick Creighton drops a critical third down that was on the game go-ahead drive. And C, the Ravens divisional playoff loss to the Patriots when they did the whole eligible-ineligible receiver gimmick. So I'm going to give those to you again. Cowboys wild card playoff loss in 2006 against the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Cowboys divisional playoff loss in 2007 against the Giants. And the Ravens divisional playoff loss in 2014 to the Pats.
Okay.
You guys good? Can we move on?
I'm ready to move along, yeah.
Okay.
Very confident with that answer.
All right. Number two. My favorite stadium to ever play in was... Here are your choices. A, Lambeau Field. B, AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys. And C, Heinz Field. Give it to you one more
time. I'm not sure on this one.
Give it to you one more time.
Yeah.
A, the Frozen Tundra, Lambeau Field. B, AT&T Stadium. And C, Heinz Field.
Rick, you know this one?
He better know that one.
Very confident.
Yeah, all right.
Three, my favorite coach to ever play for was A, Bill Parcells, B, Tom Coughlin, C, John Harbaugh. Favorite coach to ever play for, A, Parcells, B, Coughlin, C, Harbs.
Mm-hmm.
Can we move it along?
We can move it right along.
Okay. My favorite L.A. Laker of all time is A, Kareem, B, Magic, C, Kobe. Favorite Laker all time, A, Kareem, B, Magic, C, Kobe. And the last question, my favorite food is A, Wagyu Kobe Tomahawk Ribeye.
You can't get more specific.
B, Fettuccine Alfredo. C, Chicken and Waffles.
Oh, God. You could have thrown and like Kyle Kuzma in your favorite Laker.
Favorite type of food is Wagyu Kobe Tomahawk, B, Fettuccine Alfredo, C, Chicken and Waffles.
Oh, God. I hate this.
You guys ready?
No.
Come on, what do you mean?
I'm not ready.
What do you mean? This is getting to know Chris Canty, Dave.
All right.
Best guess.
I'm ready.
All right. That's a spirit, Rico. That a boy.
I'm ready.
All right. The loss that hurt me the most in my playing career was?
I'm going with B.
You're not going to let me run through them
again?
No,
I'm going with B. That was the whole Tony Romo going with Jessica Simpson situation.
Is that the same game that won Jerry Jones handed out NFC Championship game tickets before?
That would be correct, Dave.
That would also be my guess. not guess, though. I will say guarantee.
Okay. You guys
B.
not going to let me even run through. Here you go. Great job. Moving right along. That was the layup. That was just to get you warmed up. My favorite stadium to ever play in. Lambeau Field, AT&T Stadium, or Heinz Field?
I don't feel good about this.
Dave, you're up.
I'm going to say B, AT&T.
Rick? Did we lose Rick?
No. I mean, emotionally maybe, but he's still there. Okay.
Rick is a glass case of emotion.
I'm going Lambeau Field.
Wow, Dave Rothenberg, you are correct.
Yes.
AT&T Stadium.
Why are you trying to be a hero? Why do you have to be a hero?
Yes.
Why?
I didn't play in AT&T Stadium as a Cowboy, so every time I went back down there as a Giant, wanted to stick it to my former team in Jerry's World.
Yes.
That was my favorite stadium to play in.
One game lead, three to go.
Let's go. All right. Question number three.
By the way, seven in a row. For me right here. Seven.
Yeah, you're on a heater right now. All right. Favorite coach to ever play for? A, Parcells, B, Coughlin, C, Harbs. Rico, you're up.
It's definitely not Harbaugh. I'm going to go with B, Coughlin.
Dave?
Wow. See, now here, I could use some gamesmanship because I wrote down A. But I have a one-game lead. I could switch it to B. I won't do that. I'm going to say one Dwayne Parcells.
Dave Rothenberg, you are correct.
Yes!
You almost cried when you saw Coughlin. You almost cried.
He needed to go to therapy with Parcells. Yes! Yes!
Rick, I thought you knew that one.
Yes!
We talked about that.
No, but you almost cried when you saw Coughlin.
Yes, I'm very emotional when it comes to my coaches.
Life is so
very
good.
Emotional. Wow.
Yes! A drubbing.
This is not going the way that
the
I thought it would.
I have to sweep the
this
have to sweep
is
the board.
Not going the way I thought
I
it would.
I have to sweep the board.
Well, you got
this
a chance,
so
Rico, because the next two questions are pretty tough. They're not easy questions. Okay, so number four. My favorite L.A. Laker of all time. A, Kareem. B, Magic. C, Kobe. Rothenberg, you're up.
Please get this wrong.
I'm not sure. I will deduce and go one. God, I really don't know. I hate this. But I have a two-game lead, which makes me feel more confident. I'm going to go. I mean, typically when you're a kid. That's right. No, I'm going to go Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, C.
I'm going Magic.
Wow, this is a dominant performance by Dave Rothenberg. Dave, you are correct.
It's over.
I couldn't go Kobe.
For game five. It's over.
You're right. You couldn't go Kobe. You're right. You're right. You got to play the game. You knew it was Kobe, but you couldn't go Kobe. Dave got you on that one. All right.
Dave could go 10-0 in the last two games right now.
Right now.
I'm not going to get the next one right.
Okay, favorite food, the Kobe tomahawk ribeye, fettuccine alfredo, or chicken and waffles? Rick?
I know this one. I'm confident in this one. I'm going with the tomahawk ribeye.
Dave?
I'm going to lump on there as well. You were very specific with that. But here's the thing. I know you've mentioned you love fettuccine alfredo, and I know you love chicken and waffles as well, but I will go A.
Dave, you should have went with your first instinct. It was B, fettuccine alfredo. Fettuccine alfredo.
Well, that's fine. That doesn't stand in my way of winning again.
Yeah, but you could have went perfect back-to-back weeks.
That's true, but I am now.
That's like getting to the Super Bowl and losing to the New York Giants.
No.
Undefeated.
I won. I won the game.
Yeah.
Did Rick go 1-4,
by
the way?
I'm not playing anymore. I'm done.
Here we go.
That's it. I'm not playing anymore.
Very disappointed in you, Rico.
Yeah,
Very disappointed.
Me too. I was confident with Coughlin.
You love
I did get
Bill. Life
emotional.
Is so good.
But you've never seen me around Bill, though.
That's the problem. You with Coughlin, it was like you wanted to hug him, and you were like almost crying. It's very emotional.
Yeah.
What's emotional? Dominating you. I mean, the emotions. Do you want me to give an acceptance speech or something, or just let this lie?
I don't know if I can go on with the show.
It's a win.
Yeah, good. I don't think I can go on with the show.
I mean,
that's it for me.
I'm red hot.
Congratulations. No, congratulations.
So, let me see if I can tally this correctly. RJ, we could use your math skill seal. That's 4-3-2. Who's in last place if you you tally this up right now?
I'm not going to say it. You're rubbing it in now.
That's right.
Well, luckily for me, this losing this game has no repercussions as opposed to the football picks, which you've now lost 2 years in a row.
No, I did not.
You didn't lose this year?
Oh, I guess I did.
Yeah,
you know what's emotional? Dominating you.
I had an epic collapse, but I mean, I didn't get below the Rothenberg line.
You didn't. So that's two in a row he owes us, actually.
Yeah.
That's two, yeah.
Well, he's got the boxer for one, right? He's got to get in the ring. Mm-hmm. And then what's the other one?
Nothing.
It should be the video is what it should be.
What do you mean it should be the video? Then you just lost this. You produced something. No. I win. Again, it's three in a row. I'm red hot. Get out of my way.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.